And we welcome you back into Dodger Poke Report. And tonight we have a very special guest again. And that guest is Luke Raley, as you see on the right. And Luke is a young man that had a great year this year. He was kind of like a lot of Dodgers. He was very well traveled. But Luke Raley, I certainly appreciate you coming in and joining us on Dodger Poke Report.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
Let's back all the way up, and whenever I do these interviews, I like to just kind of tell the story and the documentary and the biography of each player's careers and kind of how they got here. Let's back all the way up to high school, Medina, Ohio, Highland High. You had obviously a tremendous career there, All-State baseball player, went undrafted after high school, but you had a tremendous high school career, and I know you're very proud of it. So talk about your amateur days there at Highland High, Medina, Ohio.
Yeah, you know, I ended up having good years in Highland, and it was just high school was a stressful time with recruiting. And, you know, it never even crossed my mind when I was in high school that I might get drafted. So that opportunity not happening wasn't even surprising. You know, I didn't get any Division I scholarship offers, so I ended up going to a Division II school. Yeah, it was a stressful time because I wanted to continue playing baseball and, you know, hopefully make it to being able to get drafted. And so, you know, that was hard to not get any Division I scholarship offers and all that stuff. But how it all worked out was how it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it worked out very well for you. And, you know, you end up going to Lake Erie College, and I know those people are very proud of you. You're very proud of your career there. You had a wonderful career at Lake Erie and ended up being drafted in the seventh round after that career, 2016. So talk about your career there at Lake Erie. Talk about the, whenever you heard your name called in the draft and all of those moments for you.
Yeah, my career at Lake Erie was an awesome experience because I ended up going to a school where I knew I would have an opportunity to play as a freshman, and I ended up playing – in every single game I was healthy for throughout my college career, which is you can't beat it. I mean, and that's why when so many people talk to you about where or like going to college and everybody wants to go D1, and I'm truly a huge, you know, my situation is perfect for those kind of cusp people. You have to find the right situation. And I think Lake Erie was the right situation. I had great coaches there who sent me to competitive summer leagues, which is really where I first got noticed in the Northwoods League. And overall, going to Lake Erie, and another reason that I went there was my brother played there, and I really wanted to play with him. So he was a right-handed pitcher and got to play a couple seasons there with him.
Well, and you hit .424, so obviously a very, very successful career there. Hit 12 home runs as a junior. And the one thing that popped out to me, of course, I'm a teacher here in the local Oklahoma area. I taught special ed for 18 years. Special ed is very important to me. The most impressive thing when I learned about you, of course, I got to see you here in Oklahoma City a lot this summer. Just enjoyed watching what I call the process of you getting ready for each game and each at bat and all those kind of things. But when I started kind of looking into your career and I saw that you majored in special ed, that was really cool. So talk about your decision to major in special ed.
Yeah, I've always felt like I have a passion to help people that need a little extra help. And that's what I felt special education was. And I loved doing it, just working with the kids. And you know, I love kids, working with kids that need a little extra attention in certain areas. And I just think it's such a huge component to our school systems of special education teachers, and especially male special education teachers, where they're not, you know, they're not as common as female teachers. And sometimes when it comes to students in those kind of situations that need a little extra help, a male role model really helps.
Well, and we move now into the professional part of your career. You did get drafted in the seventh round. Got off to a really quick start, I know. And back then, Rancho Cucamonga was high A ball, but you were a California League All-Star, Rancho Cucamonga. So your Dodger career gets off to a very quick start, and then all of a sudden here comes the business side of baseball, and you got to learn that very well. You got traded away from the Dodgers, and they got traded back to the Dodgers. So talk about the business side for you.
Yeah, so in 2018, when I got traded to the Twins, I was having a good year in Tulsa in Double-A, and I knew that the Dodgers were going to make some moves. So I had heard my name in some rumors, possibly Manny Machado, some other rumors here or there. The Manny Machado trade went through. It's 30 minutes until the trade deadline. I feel like I'm completely safe. I'm going to be a Dodger. I'm not going anywhere, at least this year. I get a call from at Brandy Gomes, and he tells me that I'm going to the Twins. So it was really just a shock. I mean, it happened so fast. I hadn't heard rumors about possibly going to the Twins. I think more than anything, I was mentally prepared to possibly go to the Orioles for Machado. It's just something that I hadn't even thought about was going to the Twins. So when something like that catches you by surprise. And then being traded back to the Dodgers was a lot less surprising. I guess one, I had been through it before, which I'm sure that's a huge help. But I knew the Twins were looking to make moves. I had heard, you know, rumors about them being in the Mookie Betts trade and stuff like that. when I saw that they had made a trade with the Dodgers, I were in discussions with that because of how it turned out with the pieces moving other places that they weren't initially going and all that stuff. I knew that the trade was going to happen. So when I got that call, I was more expecting it. And I was shocked that I was going back to the Dodgers because you feel like when you get traded away, there's a reason for it. So it was honestly shocking to go back, but it was a much more familiar situation going back to people I had played with in the past and coaches that I had played for, and, you know, having relationships there already. It was a much easier transition back to the Dodgers than it was my first trade to the Twins.
And you kind of took the words out of my mouth there. And I was going to ask you, you know, getting traded back, that's quite a compliment because that means that the team, they've obviously seen you a lot before and they wanted you back. Is that kind of how you viewed that? I mean,
it's weird. I think you view it both ways. So, you know, when I got traded from the Dodgers to the Twins the first time, I said to myself, well, maybe the Dodgers don't value me that much, or maybe the Twins value me a lot. And I felt kind of the same way going back to the Dodgers. Well, maybe the Dodgers do truly value me, and maybe the Twins didn't find the value in me. So I think it goes both ways, and you can't get too high or low on one side. You just kind of got to keep going.
And, you know, baseball is a game of failure, and so it's all about your perspective, right? I mean, it's about whether, hey, you know, if you're 0 for 3, that, you know, that if the other team, do you want to face that guy who's due, or do you want to face the guy that's 3 for 4 that's probably not due, you know? So it's all about your perspective.
Right.
Well, let's move on and let's talk about, you know, you have a really good start to your career. You've seen the business side of it. You've had a good experience in Double-A Tulsa. You've had a good experience with the Dodgers. All of a sudden, COVID hits. And you're not an established major leaguer at this point, obviously. So tell us what you did in the year of 2020. You know, when I look at this stuff, it's impossible to find information on what each player did. So tell us what Luke Redley did in 2020.
Yeah, so as the season or spring training got shut down and we had the couple months off, I really just came home and stayed ready for the season, as I think almost everyone did. I actually went to the alternate training site when things started back up. So I was out in LA practicing at USC the whole year. I think I had a good 2020. I made a lot of adjustments at the alternate site that you can't always make in a season. So in for how bad it was to not have a season in 2020, there's definitely something to take away from it because it gave you a different opportunity to improve yourself. And I think I found a lot of answers in my swing and in other things at the alternate training site. And, you know, I was hoping that I would could go out and have a good season like I did this year. And hopefully next year it turns into more major league success.
When I hear you talk, Luke, I hear, you know, just the sense of community, the reason why you went to Lake Erie, the reason why you like the Dodgers. You love the teammate part of it, and the fact that you guys get to be a, you know, as you move up through AA, you get to spend time together. You get to have a sense of community. So I know the Dodgers are big on culture. So talk about the culture that the Dodgers have built for guys like you as far as teamwork goes.
It's starts from the day you get drafted into the Dodgers organization. I still remember, you know, one of the first things that I was ever told when I got to the spring training complex was how the Dodgers view things is they want to make you a better person first and a better baseball player second. And I mean, that's kind of always how I've had my life perspective. So I just thought it was perfect that that was the organization I fell into, and that's what they value. And I think that that's extremely important, and I really do think that the Dodgers follow that motto really well.
No doubt about it. And you mentioned just a minute ago that hopefully some more major league sticking in the major leagues is in your future. I have no doubt there's going to be. This year you got recalled and optioned 7 different times, and amidst that you had a tremendous year at the minor league level. You hit .294 OPS of .963 with AAA OKC. Then obviously you had the huge home run that traveled 472 feet, I believe it was. It was the longest home run in the major leagues this year. It was the third longest in the StatCast era. Not sure if you knew that or not, but talk about your year, all the travels you had, and all the big moments you had here in 2021.
It was just exciting to finally, you know, make it to the big leagues and accomplish the, you know, one of the many goals that I've had since I became a baseball player. The up and down, though it can be challenging at times, it's part of the job. And, you know, I understood my role on the team this year, and, you know, I wanted to do anything I could to help the Dodgers win baseball games. And if that meant staying ready in Oklahoma City for if and when I went back up, then I was happy doing that. So, yeah, it was an exciting year all in all. The home run was awesome. You know, just getting to feel the environment of a big league stadium and all that stuff. It was really exciting.
Two cool moments for me during that home run. Obviously, you just absolutely obliterated that ball. You must have had some serious adrenaline flowing through your body at that point to hit a ball to left center, more so center field, as far as you did. Two cool moments, though. Whenever you came into the dugout, you kind of let out just of a breath like, wow, I can't believe I just did that almost type breath. I could be wrong there, but that's what it looked like to me. And the coolest part of it was your family got to see it and you got to experience it together. And I know that is a huge deal to you.
Yeah. For the breath, I don't know if it was so much, I can't believe I just did that. It was more of a, you know, we're in a pennant race here in September and I just, you know, hit a home run to give us a 3-run lead at the time. And I think it was more like, all right, that, like, you know, I'm here and helping the team, and that felt good. So my mom actually got to come out to Colorado. That was the first game she had ever seen me play in the big leagues. So it was just really exciting to be able to see her after the game and, you know, talk to her and her get to experience that. She's done so much for me throughout my career. You know, it was a special moment for both of us.
Whenever you embraced your mother after that game, and obviously that was a huge moment for you, can you reveal to us the first thing out of her mouth something about that home run, or was it about your daily routine that a typical mom would ask?
Honestly, I can't remember. I think I don't remember. I think we immediately started talking about how cool it was for her to sit in the stands and get to see me play on a big league field with a bunch of fans. And, you know, Colorado is a cool park. And
yeah,
we just got to talking about the, you know, the whole general situation that we found ourselves in. And I'm sure the home run came up shortly within, you know, the first couple of sentences, but I don't know if it was the first thing we talked about.
That is an absolutely fantastic story. And, you know, sometimes when you have guys like you that hit home runs like you did, you know, people don't even hardly even see as humans. It's almost like you're superhuman. And you forget whenever you hear these stories, you know, a guy like me, when you hear these stories that you're just like everybody else. You know, you have a mom and a dad, and you have emotions, and you have excitement, and you have all these kinds of things. It's just super cool to hear guys like you talk about those emotions.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something that's often forgotten, is that we're people too. And we, you know, we have the same emotions, grew up the same way, you know, put our pants one leg at a time, just like everybody else. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things. We've worked hard to get to where we are, and we continue to work to better ourselves and put ourselves in better positions for the future.
I have seen your routine and what I call the baseball process. And what the baseball process is to me is, how do you prepare? You know, baseball is such a game of failure that if you judge everything on results, you're always going to be in a bad mood, right? So the process is, what work do you put into the results that you get? Let's concentrate on the work that you put in and not the results. And having seen you, your process is impeccable. I mean, just everything you do is absolutely spot on, perfect. It's a great example for the younger kids to follow. That brings me into my next question. What is an off-season routine like for a guy like Luke Raley that's right there on the fringe of being an everyday major leaguer? What are you doing here in this off-season?
Same thing I've done every off-season. As you said, the routine doesn't change. You know, it's, you know, getting stronger, getting faster, getting more mobile, or getting more flexible, you know, anything that will help me in my career, I'm trying to do in the off season. And at the same time, taking a step away from, you know, baseball for a couple of weeks at least, and then getting back into things, because it's always good to give yourself that mental break. I know sometimes when you don't get that mental break, you can run into some difficult points, and get that reset is extremely important.
I think it's pretty obvious just listening to you talk when people get to view this and hear you, just exactly how grounded you are. But, you know, you go all the way back to your high school days, undrafted, Division II, get drafted, get traded, big home run, parents get to see it. Do you ever just stop and think, is this really me? Is this really my life? Am I really getting to do all these things? Do you ever have time to stop and think that way in the moment like that?
Maybe not so much like in the actual moment, but I definitely have thought about that. And I think I just give credit to, you know, my parents pushed me to work harder and be better. And not only as a baseball player, but as a person, and, you know, finding people that, you know, friends that will make you better and push to make you better. I think that's all a part of it. And it's a massive, you know, like, it's a big weight on your shoulders to feel like you, when you want to obtain something, and how are you going to get there? And I think just staying the track is what's most important.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, you have the perfect story to tell, and me being a high school baseball coach for the younger kids, and using you guys like you as an example of the type of people that they want to become. You know, you don't have to go to the huge universities. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be the huge draft pick out of high school. You don't have to do all those things. All you really need to have is a great process, and let the chips fall where they may, like you have done. And so I think you have a great message for kids. If you are going to give advice to young men and women out there that are just picking up a bat, ball, glove for the first time and want to become Luke Raley, what do you tell them?
Don't stop. I mean, I think that was the biggest thing for me. There's been so many reasons for me to possibly have stopped playing and just given up. And that's just not what I did. And I stayed the course and continued to work hard and improve where I needed to improve. And I think that, you know, sometimes in a situation like mine, there's things that happen to you that you can let bury you or you can let fuel your fire. And I still, you know, I still play with a chip on my shoulder for people that I feel like overlooked me going to college and all that. I, you know, I had a lot of conversations with coaches and reasons why they didn't like me. And I could have easily just been like, you know what? Yeah, he's right. Maybe I'm not that good. And just given up, but I didn't, and kept playing and working even harder to prove them wrong.
Luke, that is a fantastic story. That is fantastic that when I reached out to you, you responded. You came on here with me on Dodger Poke Report, told your story, let everybody out there just kind of see how you unwound this thing. I certainly appreciate you so much for coming on Dodger Poke Report, and absolutely best of luck. I can tell you this, you absolutely have a big time fan with Dodger Poke Report, and best of luck.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.